understand a couple things. It is the Super Bowl tonight. But we have a couple birthdays, some super awesome disciples of Jesus. We got Tyler and Natasha's birthdays today, so let's give them a cheer. These two disciples live super awesome lives for Jesus. And it leeways our title, it's Super Bowl or Super Life. So go to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to ask you, are you fired up for the Super Bowl, or are you fired up to live a super life? Hebrews 12 verse 22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborns whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Super Bowl or super life? How's it going today? Point number one, real simple. Thousands will cheer for you. You know what it says here? It says thousands upon thousands of angels are in joyful assembly. Now, I don't know about you, but when Tom Brady makes a touchdown, some of you guys won't be cheering. But I know Frank Hines will be yelling on the top of his lungs. But what about being at the Super Bowl in 2010 in Pasadena, California, Super Bowl 45, when there was 111 million people viewing from home and 103,219 in attendance when Green Bay won the Super Bowl? Imagine the cheers. What happens when somebody gets saved in heaven? Thousands upon thousands of angels. Last week, we had three awesome souls added to the kingdom of God. And when Zach came up and shared, he said, "Find Jesus." And I found Jesus. He went and got baptized. And not only us, but thousands upon thousands of angels were rejoicing at Zach's salvation. Now, the question is, why are people cheering for you? Why are angels cheering in heaven, and when will they cheer for you? Coming to Miami, I've never seen a more ambitious city in my life. I've met football players, singers, and actors. A lot of people want to do one thing: make money. They want the cheers to be about their accolades in the world, but that is not what God is about. God wants angels to rejoice at the salvation of your soul. So turn with me all the way to Acts chapter 4. God is not acting, but we are going to bring it to the acts of the Holy Spirit in the first century church. Now I'm going to fly through these scriptures, so stick with me as much as you can. In verse 1, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming the name of the resurrection of the dead in Jesus. They seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. Well, that fires you up. If you preach the word, you go to jail. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000, from 120 to 3,000 to 5,000, just like that, because they preached the cheerful message of Jesus Christ. In order for the angels to cheer, thousands need to hear. If you think about it this morning, we are in the midst of a floodgate opening up here in the Miami church. I sat there refining the sermon, I mean by refining, super refining it. And I looked around, I looked up, and I saw four amazing young souls studying the Bible to be saved today. They were counting the cost. And the good thing is, all four of them decided to get saved today. You know what was cool? It's not only happening in Miami, it's happening in New Delhi, India. They were planted just 9 months ago. And they had one teen disciple. Teen as in under 20. In fact, I believe she was 13. One teen, 13 years old in 9 months, has grown from one to 33 teens in one church. know, that group started with 33 Spartans. 33 Spartans are a lot like our gladiators. They went from Chennai, India, all the way up to New Delhi. And now they have had 103 baptisms, 21 restorations, and now at 147 sold out disciples. I know God and the angels are cheering at the salvation of souls around the world. But what about you? Acts 22, verse 16. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. When are you going to turn from sin? When are you going to turn from the world and accept Jesus, get baptized, and wash those sins away? Let me tell you, when you do, the angels are going to be rejoicing. Many people want to be amazing quarterbacks like David Moreno over there. Now, this young man is a very talented quarterback. So is Tom Brady. Thousands upon thousands of people are going to be cheering for him tonight. But I don't know about you, but if I would be more fired up for a man's cheer than an angel's cheer, I don't know if I believe in God. Can you imagine if one angel cheers for you? You know how powerful their voice is in the Bible? Start from Genesis and check it out. When they speak, men trembled. Imagine thousands upon thousands speaking and cheering for you. Are you done with the lifestyle of sin? Are you done with the lifestyle of self-hatred? Are you done with the lifestyle of selfish ambition that's only emptiness inside? You can have the nicest car, but the most broken heart in the world. You can live in condos and know nothing at all about the Lord's love. Every day that goes by, every moment that goes by, there are thousands of angels waiting to rejoice at your decision to make thousands cheer in heaven. Point number two, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm very fired up that we have four people baptized, but I'm more excited about 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 people getting saved in one day. And it takes an amazing decision to believe in God, to be stirred by the word, to not be a coward to take a stand, but take a stand because in heaven there will be a standing ovation. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, it says, "You have come to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven." You guys all know about the history books on earth, right? All the records that are set. I saw somebody who set a record for jumping over the most chairs. That's awesome. I mean, there's a World Guinness Book of Records that you can hold something on your nose, a toothpick, for the longest amount of time. That's great. You're in the history books. Quarterbacks, wrestlers, UFC fighters being the double champ, Conor McGregor. You can go all the way to soccer. You can look at different sport musicians, Red Hot Chili Peppers. It doesn't matter. They've set worldly records. Their names are in the history book on earth. But any disciple, your name is written in heaven, the history book. As disciples, do you know where your name is written? The book of life is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. So go to Revelation 21 real quick with me. Get a little running start. We're going to start in verse 27. It says this, "The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life." See, those who are saved, who have their names written in the book of life, are with Jesus when they die. But nobody who lives a lifestyle of impurity, immorality, selfish ambition, or cowardice are in heaven. You can read that in 21:22. Why don't you set yourself free? Let thousands cheer and get your name written in the historical book of life in heaven. I think maybe you misunderstand salvation. So let me run it through real quick. Give me 30 seconds to teach you about how to be saved. Go to John chapter 3. I'm going to give you what I call the pie of salvation. You know, I don't want to teach you to only eat one piece of the Jesus pie. I want you to have the whole pie. So I'm not going to come up here and try to make you feel good and say, just believe. Because if you just believed you're a millionaire, we'd all be broke jokes. Just believe. Come on. I used to believe I was going to be a famous rapper. With all my heart. Well, look at me now. Started at the bottom, now we're still there. No. When are you a millionaire? When you get $1 million. When are you a disciple? When you follow Jesus by what you do. So go to John 3. We're going to read verse 5 and through 7. It says, Jesus answered one of the Pharisees, a religious person, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You must not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." The first piece of the pie, you got to be baptized in water to receive the Holy Spirit. Many of you guys are like, oh, I don't know about that. Well, why don't you check out the Bible with me after church? Now go to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes him in shall not perish but have eternal life." Well, there's the second piece of the pie. Be baptized. And if you don't believe, you're not going to get baptized. So believe and get baptized. Well, what about repentance? If I just believe with all my heart, that's amazing. That means I don't have to change my ways. I'm not going to preach that to you. It's not come as you are. It's come obedient to Jesus. So if you're going to get saved, hold to the truth and let Jesus set you free, not your emotions. Amen? Amen? So baptism, believing. Now read verse 19 through 21 with me. This is the verdict. Nobody likes hearing the word verdict in the New Testament because they think the Old Testament God is different than the New Testament God. Well, let me tell you something. My New Testament God allowed his son to be killed by all of us. It's not a different God. It's the same merciful and gracious God, because the punishment that's on Jesus should have been on you. I think all of us need to understand the verdict of God, that light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. The only reason why you don't want to come into the light is because you love your sin. You got to repent. You got to get it all out there. You got to confess it. You got to take a stand with your family. Take a stand with your friends. You got to come fully into the light, because if you're not in it, you can believe all you want. The demons believe in Jesus. You cannot only believe, you got to also repent. Completely. Repent is metanoia, 180% change. You are not the same person, and this is before being saved. You got to repent. You got to believe. You got to be baptized. And write down Acts 2, verse 42 through 47. You got to be devoted to God. You got to read your Bible, and you got to pray. You got to put God first in your life. You got to seek first the kingdom, and nothing else matters, because you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, all else will be given to you. So let me ask you something. Are you ready for your name to be written in heaven finally? Are you done playing games? Because in the Super Bowl, there's going to be a moment in the game where we're all kind of on the edge of our seat. It's going to be about 2 minutes left, and the Patriots are 10 minutes behind. Or 10 points behind. And we're all going to be on the edge of our seat because we know how much time we have left. 30 seconds left, Tom Brady. Get sacked. And then it's a turnover. And the Rams get the ball. 20 seconds left. Patriots are 3 points behind now. They say hike. They throw the ball. Patriot interception. 15 seconds left. One defender, two defender. He runs down to the 2-yard line, and the Rams stop them to win the Super Bowl. We get all excited when there's 30 seconds left. But what if you had 30 seconds left? Some of us would be excited. Some of us would regret that we did not let our names be written in heaven. You know what else is cool? Is in the football game, there's a score. So if you're losing, you know you're losing. But when you take the pie, God doesn't keep score. Game restarted, and there's no losing the game of discipleship. You always win. Welcome to the super life of Jesus Christ. To close out this sermon, point number three, welcome to the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. See, true confidence isn't in the size of your chest, your muscles, or your bank accounts. True confidence is in Jesus Christ's word and obedience to him. That is confidence. I am not teaching that you can't be excellent at what you do. I'm teaching you to be excellent at what you do with God in your life. Go back down to verse 32. And let me inspire you to live a life that gets you into the hall of faith. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, or Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain even a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning and they were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in the caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. I want to be in that list. I want you to be in that list. I want you to be in that list where this day you make a decision to be a hero in your faith. To be a man or a woman that is willing to face jeering, persecution, death, imprisonment, hatred, loss of all, so that way you can truly get to know the boss of all. My call to you is to do something so heroic in your faith that it blows even your mind. I want to inspire you to take a stand, to be heroic. Allow God to use you not with limits, but limitlessly. Be a man or a woman that's not more excited about the Super Bowl than you are about a super life in Christ. So in conclusion, I want to call you to, number one, get saved today. Stop playing games. It's time to get baptized. It's time to devote your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength to God's purpose for your life. And remember, in real life, there are no scoreboards. You don't know how much minutes you have remaining in the game, and you don't know when the game is up for you. Remember, in God's world, what looks like defeat is actually victory. And sometimes what looks like victory, those are the true losers. The Super Bowl is great fun, but what is greater yet is to live a super life because of Jesus Christ. Now that is something to cheer about. Thank you, and God bless.